direct from the Los Angeles Underground. Open your ear holes for The Superiority Complex, a Guano production. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex, everybody. First of all, I want to give out a shout out to lovely Miss Julie Kang, who now has, if you have not done so yet, check it out. I can't even talk. I'm so tired. All right. Check out our page, our Facebook page, because Julie has given us a logo. I want to give a shout out to Nina, our Indian friend Nina. There's a reason I'm mentioning she's Indian, but our friend Nina Thomas and my friend Rosemary Flores, who have been guests in the past here. They both worked to get me a logo, but Rosemary drew a logo. I had a logo drawn up, guys, that was a really – my original idea for a logo was a superhero standing on top of the earth holding up a radio tower. Mm-hmm. And then I thought later on, I changed my mind. I said, you know, I want to do something kind of like a Soviet communist poster, like propaganda poster. So then Julie drew this really cool fist, like a red fist crushing a radio tower.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that is our new logo. So special thanks to Julie Kang. And thank you, Julie and Nina and everybody who tried to help me come up with a logo. So that being said, let's launch into this episode. We have a really special episode today. Get out of the kitchen, he says to the dog. Should I edit that out or should I leave that in?
Leave it in.
We don't edit.
Leave it in.
I'm on a show that doesn't edit. On another show. Oh, I just broke my head, my neck. I'm on another show that doesn't edit. And sometimes when you say dumb stuff, it comes back to bite you in the ass. All right, so I have two awesome guests today. They were roommates. They were bosom buddies. Okay, these guys lived in an all-girls hotel, and they were guys.
Just
and,
call me Jack.
And
I had two female roommates. Boy, that was true.
Peter Scolari and Tom Hanks are here, guys. Say hi, everybody. Okay, actually,
run, Forrest, run.
My gay. I don't know what that means. My gay. My good friend. One of my absolute best friends in the whole wide world, Mr. Hitesh Patel, is here again.
Hello.
Hitesh was here last time with Thomas Bailey and the lovely Lauren Nichols, and they still speak very highly of you, Hitesh.
Wow.
Entertainment should
even
not be...
Even after they met me?
Even after they met you, who wouldn't love you? And also here for the very first time... No, I think you've been mentioned on the show, Bernie, or were
Am
you?
I? Have I you, think it was at Pink's.
Did you say hello one time? Yeah, yeah.
No, it was at
Pink's. I don't think I've released that. It's on here somewhere. DJ Bernesto is
hello.
Here.
Hello.
We call him DJ Bernesto. His name is Bernie. He was a roommate of Hiddish's while they were at college. You guys want to mention the school or?
We can do the eight clap.
Do you want to do the eight? Speaking of which, let's talk about that amazing USC victory at the Super Bowl. Apparently, according to the Facebook page, the day after USC really went out there and won themselves quite a game. So. Congratulations to the Trojan fans for making it all about themselves again. You've done it again, guys. You reinforced exactly why everybody loves you guys, and they just think you're the greatest fans in all of.
You know what was funny is they didn't realize how weird it was sounding or seeing them take credit for an NFL Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah,
you guys are all happy about this?
Yeah, it was all over.
Didn't this guy leave you high and dry?
I've said it before. They don't want to listen to it, but I told you that he did everything but land a helicopter on the 50-yard line of the Coliseum, bust out the Nixon wave, and just fly off to Seattle. But no, it's what was the word that we heard? It was a witch hunt.
Yeah,
So
if the people don't know what we're talking about, we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl and a whole bunch of chatter on social media about how USC Trojan followers, I don't want to say fans, followers, right? Because it could be alumni, alumnus, friends of the school, whatever. They were just so, so happy for Pete Carroll.
You know what I said? This is what I likened it to. I likened it to Brad Pitt. Does Brad Pitt have any children with Angelina Jolie, or are they all adopted?
I don't know.
I think he's got.
I think they have one.
Yeah,
okay, I was going to say, that would be like Angelina Jolie announcing she's pregnant and Jennifer Aniston sending her like a baby gift, like a like you know, that's exactly what that's like. You know, it's just like they left you high and dry, man. I'm sorry. Listen, I know you don't want to hear this, Trojans, but he left you guys high and dry.
Well, you know, I don't know. I didn't follow it too closely because I really didn't care, but it sounded like there was a problem with one of his athletes taking money from a booster that, or not a booster, but from an agent. And Pete Carroll's all, I don't know anything about this, which could be legitimate.
Sure.
I totally get that. But he was looking at ultimate accountability. He's the head coach of the, and the guy that runs that program. And he basically said, oh, you know what? This is going to adversely affect me. Maybe I should leave.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of weird that, you know, and not to say that it doesn't happen. It does happen everywhere. So there it is. It happens everywhere. People leave Louisville to go to the Atlanta Falcons. And 9 months later, they leave to go to back to Arkansas. And then they get caught with their mistress on a motorcycle. I'm talking about that guy. Who is that guy? Right?
Yeah. So,
stuff like this happens all the time. Yeah. So,
well, I always bring up the argument that Pete Carroll was basically the god of football in, you know, with USC. I mean, they loved him. He took he did take that program to unparalleled heights. He changed the way at the time the Pac-10. I mean, nobody played defense like that in the Pac-10. Left the rest of the Pac-10 scrambling as far as recruiting, things like that. So if you are basically the emperor of Los Angeles, why are you going to leave to give that up? Why when you've already failed in the NFL, mm-hmm. like you think, okay, now, you know, it just, the timing was weird. It's not like they just kept winning and he's like, you know what, I want to try my hand at the NFL.
Right, right. It wasn't like, hey, I'm leaving at the top. Hey, I'm leaving in a lurch.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys can pick up the pieces. And I that was this week.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but if you try to, I mean, you know, yeah. Far be it for me to, I don't understand the way things are.
We've already talked too much Trojan.
Ugh.
Let's move on, man.
Your Bruins took the Trojans today at basketball, so. And then they'll, of course, they'll say, well, you guys are a basketball school, blah, blah, blah. Unless they win, then it's like, oh, look, we...
Yeah, well, you know, this rivalry will go on for a long time.
I have a USC alum lined up as a guest, but it's one that we like.
Oh.
It's one that we like.
Are you going to give this guest up? Are you going to, like, are you going to hype this?
It hasn't happened yet because it's supposed to, but I think you know who I'm talking about.
I think I know. You have to tell me so I can say, yeah.
I'll tell you off the air.
All right. Fine.
But
fine.
Yeah, you know who it is.
Fine.
But we love them. We love them. Actually, I have a lot of good friends that went to USC, and I love them to death, but it's just, there's a certain type of fan that just drives me up the wall, and it's just, I was seeing a lot of that during. So I apologize if you're a good Trojan fan, all two of you. I apologize. Enough, though. You're right, Hitu. Bernesto?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about what happened. When did DJ Byrne go into, is DJ Byrne in retirement?
Shoot, DJ Byrne's been not mixing anything since think 2011.
I can't remember the last mixtape I got.
2011. From I started it, but it's about three songs deep and it stopped right there.
Every Christmas we would get an awesome mix, but called Burn Mix. Get it?
So I started strong, but it's been hanging since 2011.
You know what? It's just nobody listens to CDs anymore. Like, well, I had to do one for my daughter's birthday last year, and I was like, who's going to use this aside from a coaster? Like, but people do listen, but it's just like now everything's just a playlist. I just throw it on the playlist.
Exactly. You know, we talk about how we're old. My kids look at me, pull out a CD, and they're like, what are you doing with that, Dad? You know? Where's your iPod? Where's your iPhone? Where's,
When my daughter was about three or four, I had a CD and she goes, what movie is that? And I said, no, it's not a movie. It's music. She goes, no, music comes on the iPod or get this because of preschool or a record player.
Oh,
so
gosh.
She knew a record player. She knew a record, but she's like a CD and she had no concept of that. She's like, no, that's a movie. You put movies on those. Now you don't even have that.
Yeah.
Now everything's just streamed, you know?
That's amazing when you stop and think about this. Compact disc was the pinnacle of digital technology. Late 80s?
Yeah, the mid 80s, 84. Yeah. 84. Yep. Do you remember the first CD you bought?
Yes. Police, Zenyatta Mandata. Wow. Made in West Germany.
The first CD, I don't even remember the first CD I bought.
I know what first, I immortalized. I had it on cassette, mm-hmm. and we're going to talk about this later in the show. I had to immortalize it. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Sports. Huey Lewis. Huey Lewis. Oh,
man,
1984?
1985?
I think 84.
All right.
Only to be sued, only to sue Ray Parker Ray Jr. Parker a few Jr. years later with, that year with Ghostbusters.
That's right. Yeah,
what was that? They sued Ray Parker Jr. for the Ghostbusters song?
Sounding too much
the riff,
like...
The riff was similar.
Really?
I want a new drug.
All right. So this is not as popular of a band.
I want a new drug.
Who are you going to call?
But if you remember the Pet Shop Boys.
Yes, of course.
Back in the 80s, they got sued by the person formerly known as Cat Stevens.
Oh, for which song?
I think it was Opportunities.
I did not know that.
And it was some riff that apparently was an old Cat Stevens riff, and he sued them, but he lost. They countersued him, and the money they got from that apparently went to charity.
Oh, okay.
But I thought it was kind of weird. I'm like, really? People sample people all the time.
Well, we're going to talk about sampling is going to come up later because one of the albums I'm going to discuss is what changed the face of sampling. But I got the guys together. Well, first of all, I get a text earlier in the week. Oh, no, last week, and it says, I'll be down next week. Let's podcast, which is always exciting because, Hittis, you were one of the inspirations for this, for me starting this podcast, is from the conversations we would have that would go late into the night. So it's kind of apropos that we're starting this.
Are we going to play some Bette Midler today?
It's,
am I the wind
beneath wings? You are the wind beneath my wings.
Okay.
And then we're going to watch, Ruthless People. Is that the one? Was she in Ruthless People?
I don't know.
Midler had that. She was huge in the 80s.
She was big. She had big hair. She had a big personality. Is she still alive?
She is still alive.
Damn.
I think she still looks exactly the same.
I always thought she was old.
She kind of looks
She's
the same.
Always
looks
the same.
She looks the same, Bette Midler. I like Bette Midler, though. I'm not... That's not my style, but I like her. I just think she's a fun person.
She's a big personality.
What was the movie with her and Shelley Long?
Death Becomes You. What is it?
No,
was she in that?
No. Mm-hmm. It was her and Shelley Long. It was like... When Shelley Long left Cheers and tried to make it on her own.
No, I have no idea. You know, I think of Bette Midler the most when she was on Seinfeld. And she was like that, like Broadway diva.
That's right. I remember her singing to Johnny Carson, like her second to last. I think Johnny Carson's like second to last show or something. She did the... She sat on his lap and like sang to him.
All right, so Bette Midler, I just Googled her on my tablet. I'm looking at her. I'm like, okay, I can see how she was popular.
Let's try to guess how old she was. Bernie, can you see?
Look at that. Look at that picture of Bette Midler. Okay. I think she's like 60.
Okay, I'll say
in her 60s.
I'm going to guess 65.
I don't know. I'm looking at images.
He's looking at pictures.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to. Can you find out how old she is?
Wiki.
All right. Keep talking. I'll look.
What do you say, Bernie? I'm going to say 65.
67.
Hittish, what do you say? What's your guess?
She is 70 now.
She's 70.
All right.
You know, he might be right, actually.
I'm going to say 60.
She was born in 1945. That is old. She's 69.
68. Whoa, my brother.
December 1st, 1945.
You said 70.
Yeah,
well, very nice. I give on Jimmy Pardo's podcast, whenever the number 69 is mentioned, it gets a my brother. Oh, by the way, if you guys are looking for a great podcast, I always like to plug other podcasts. One of the oldest podcasts and one of the best around is Never Not Funny with Jimmy Pardo, and it's usually a paywall, but he's decided to go to a free model now, or he was free and then it was subscription. But if, check it out; it's on Earwolf. But you can just go to Never Not Funny or podcast.com, PARDcast.com. One of the best podcasts out there, and one of my favorites. So. Please check that out. And it's free now, and it's very funny. But so you'll get to hear him say, my brother, anytime someone mentions the numbers. But the great thing about it is they do it ironically because the whole joke started at somebody who was in an airport, and then they were like at an airport, like I think buying like food, and they go, okay, you're number 69. And they called out number 69. This guy walked by and was like, hey, like so. So it's kind of a joke making fun of people that do something like that. So now I do it though. But Bette Midler, 69. Do you have a current picture of her? Is she still good looking? Let me ask.
I had to swipe away.
Let me ask you this: It's never going to happen. But let's say you find yourself single again, Hittish. What is the oldest you'll go? Because we're now in our 40s, man. What's the oldest you think a girl can, you know, can still be attractive to you?
Well, it's not always about the looks, but they can get pretty old nowadays, you know, and still be very, very nice.
Yes.
I was watching TV the other day, and by watching TV, I mean the TV was on and I was like cleaning something,
mm-hmm.
and Christy Brinkley came on
TV. Mm-hmm. I think I saw
She still looks lovely.
And someone told me she was in her 60s.
She is.
60s.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Christy Brinkley, and she looked very, like, she didn't look like she's aged from,
she,
like, uptown girl.
She hasn't had any work done.
And maybe,
but
she hasn't.
She says she's not opposed to it necessarily, but has not had any work done.
You know, by the way, this is the most sexist conversation we've ever had, but on this podcast. No, but I was just thinking.
Well, it's a function of how late at night this
is. Yeah, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
You get more honest as you drink and you.
But I was thinking, like if that happened, if I found myself single. But, you know, there are a lot of, because I think that men, you know, and this has been said a lot, but I think they always, people want to say, well, men get to age more gracefully than women do. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I think that now people don't, like you said, Christy Brinkley's in her 60s. 60-year-olds don't look the way they did when we were kids and people were 60. They were already, like, eating soup at 4 o'clock. And, you know what I mean? Like, people look different than they used to.
Well, that's 40s a new 30.
Yeah.
30s a new 20.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, I don't think it's as much it has to do with us. Because when you're a kid, you're not really aware. It's like, you know, 50, 100 might as well be the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. you just see white hair and you're like, oh, it's a grandpa. You know?
What's up, Grant?
But I really think that, like, when people were 70 back in the day, like, when we were, you didn't see 70-year-olds at the gym when you were, like, 18, 19. Now, in, like, the last 15, 20 years, I think it's really changed. And I think people just, you know, are taking better care of themselves. And
I think that's true, but I think it's a little bit of the other thing, too, because I remember being a kid going, that dude is in his 20s. That's old.
Yeah, you have no sense of time. You have no sense.
That's a good point. That's
but
a good
then
point.
Once,
I mean,
a little bit of both. I'd say a little bit of both.
Once, I think, too, once also once you start to have children around, like, you know, if your friend has a kid or something or you have a kid, like, time just accelerates, man. It's just like, wow, that kid's, you know. Like, when you send pictures of your son, you're like, my son's in high school now. I'm like, what? Your son's in high, how is that possible?
It's amazing. I was visiting one of my wife's family members today, and we were just sitting there chatting, and I was telling them, yeah, you know, thanks a lot for watching my kid when he was a baby, because of circumstances that me and my wife were going through, we'd actually drop our son off at her cousin's house for like an hour or two every day. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's hard to believe it was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
It goes by quick.
Time is just, it's a blur.
We all die alone and afraid, guys. That's really what I'm getting at. But, is that depressing? I'm kidding.
Yeah. But, you know, if we want to be sexist, which we are going to be.
Yes.
The oldest I'd go, 30.
Damn.
Oh, he cracked himself up.
He cracked himself up.
Yeah. You know, I think of that question a lot. Like, you know, it just because, you know, you always hear these stories.
I love
about,
you, honey.
You always hear these stories about a guy like, oh, he's 60, he's divorced his wife, he's dating like a 24-year-old now. But, you know, like, there comes a point where how much in common do you have with that person? I think I've reached a point in my life where it's like, you know, it's not necessarily like you are when you're like 19 or 20, like, oh, I got to go out with the hottest girl or something like that. It's like, no, you want someone that's going to, like, be, you know.
It's not about that to me.
Yeah.
To me, it's about making and helping me feel young. You know, I noticed that I work with a lot of folks in their 20s, 30s, and I'm actually the old man.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there.
And they, you know, just how we talk, how we interact with each other, I actually feel younger at
mm-hmm.
work.
You forget how old you are.
I forget how old I am.
And
that means a lot to me because I'm on the other side of 40 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course,
so,
man.
As I think about that.
Staring death in the face every day.
I look in the mirror and I see all the gray hair and I'm like, dang, you know, I can't wait to go to work.
You know what?
I can act sillier.
You know what's nice? Yeah. You look in the mirror, you don't see as much gray hair as I have. By the way, while we're at it, let's both punch Bernie in the face.
It's a good thing we're on the radio.
Look at him. No gray.
No. I strategically hide every single one. It's there.
Bernie's a smart one, man. He's a bachelor. Look at him. No gray, no smiling, happy, just awesome, carefree. She has like six cars.
He's got a motor pool.
Yeah. I don't drive this one anymore. He's like the Jay Leno.
But I don't need it. Like, but I don't want to sell it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to. Yeah, I don't need it. I don't need this.
Is that the image I portrayed, man? I'm doing something right then.
Yeah, man. We all look. We all just. I go to bed at night. Every night before I drift off, my final thought is like, "Damn you, Bernie!" And then I just drift off to a troubled sleep, a fitful sleep.
You know what it is? The grass is always greener.
It, you know. Apparently, that, you know that, that is the way. It's, you know that there's. Yep. There, you know that is always true, but. I
can't argue with the blackness of your hair.
Yeah,
that is irrefutable.
I know. Yeah, so you're doing something. It's all the herbs. He has some kind of Chinese medicine that we're not privy to. So some Eastern, like, you know, Eastern medicine that we're not, you know. He's got like a mailing list of, he has like endangered animal parts sent to him so he could make various powders and balms.
Wait, can you slow down? I'm taking some notes here.
He'll always be, he has a Lazarus pit. Bernie knows where the Lazarus pit is. No, but I think you're right. You do, like, I work with people that are like half my age, and you forget, and then like people go, oh, this, look at that guy. Oh, you know, look at that guy. Oh yeah, he looks about your age. I'm like, man, that guy looks old. Is that what I look like to you? That's awful.
No, but there's more. I don't know. Maybe I'm generalizing, but it seems to be more exuberance in younger folks.
Right? Yeah, because they don't come into work carefree.
Life hasn't beaten you down. And,
it hasn't beaten you out of it yet.
Yeah, so if my wife was not in my life anymore because she passed away, because it's probably the only way I'm going
to
not be with her,
mm-hmm.
I would want to, you know, I wouldn't want to feel like a fuddy-duddy. I want to feel young.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to feel like life is an adventure, and usually typically see that with younger folks.
I'm not letting
They're
your
not
wife
beaten down.
I'm not letting your wife listen to this podcast, but for the sake of just to keep this from actually happening, I'm not gonna.
Then she would kill me.
I used to tell a story about, you know, that when my daughter was a baby, I would go to like Target or something, and it would always attract a lot of attention. When you're a guy and you have a baby and you're by yourself, your wife's not with you. You always get people like, oh my God, you're such a good dad or whatever. And I used to, like, in my mind, I was like, look, this is what a dad should do. You know, you know, yeah. And my wife and I had opposite schedules. So I didn't want to be, I didn't want the baby to keep me from doing what I was going to do. I needed to live my life, you know?
Right.
So
I got run errands, got to take care of business.
So I got her used to traveling with me, and I got used to just packing a diaper bag and doing all the stuff that a mom would do. And I got, you know, it's not hard, you know, it is hard, but you know, you get used to it. But, you know, I think a lot of dads are afraid to do it. It's embrace it, man. It's one of the best things ever. So I used to, but I remember I would tell a story that, and I never actually did this, but I told people that, like, whenever my daughter would be crying at, like, Target, like, I'd be, it's okay, honey. Mommy's in heaven, and she still loves you.
That was like, No. This is all reality radio. You have to fess up. We took my boy out to the mall. And we're like, oh yeah, wouldn't it be fun to say, oh, we're too, like,
is that what it was?
Yeah,
is that what it was?
we're single dads, you know, and we're taking care of this little kid, da da da, because our wives aren't.
Oh, that's anymore. Right, that's right. I remember when I had a broken leg, and your son was he was still in a stroller.
Yeah.
And we went down. I think we went to like South Coast Plaza or something. I don't remember what we were looking for. But we had this train going where I was like I was in the wheelchair, and I was like, here, dude, give me the stroller. So I was pushing the stroller.
You had such a sympathetic figure, man.
You were pushing me, and we had this train going to South Coast Plaza.
You know, and we didn't get any numbers.
You know why? Because people probably thought that was our adopted son. No.
And that we were a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, look at this skinny guy and this bear type. This big bear type. They look so happy. You know, he's, you know, the big guy's probably the male because he's, you know. But I'm a nurturer. I'm a nurturer. I'm going to nurture you. I'm gonna.
Yeah, our plots and schemes backfired on us.
Never worked out.
What were we thinking?
How come we had more plots and schemes to get women after we were married? Like, when we were single, we couldn't come up with one that worked. We couldn't
come up with any of this stuff.
Nothing effective. The second we put those rings on, though, man, we were good.
That's how it works. Everybody says the same thing.
I became such an expert on women after I was married. It was great. Oh, good stuff. All right, we're going to take
all that work experience.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna take a quick break because Hittish insists that we take breaks. Hittish is one of the guys that sends me notes randomly. I'll get a random text. You should do breaks. I'm listening at my desk.
And I'm falling asleep.
So we're going to take a quick break on that awesome note, and we're going to give you guys a second to think of your strategies for when you're out there meeting the ladies.
Or meeting the men.
Or meeting the guys. That's right. That's right. It's the 21st century. Please send your ideas to post them on our Facebook page. Tell us what kind
we'll
of game.
We'll tell you how well they work.
Tell us what kind of game you're running. Are you a guy that just goes for a quick pickup line, or you do the long con where you set it up You have this whole second life that's not really
Stinson has the playbook.
Yeah, you call your parents your roommates and invite the friend. Oh, my roommates.
Yeah, I rent out the basement.
I rent out the basement. I bought this house, but I just live in the basement. And the people upstairs.
I get more money this way.
Yeah, they get more money this way. House is almost paid off. Why are your roommates doing your laundry? Oh, it's a long story. They like to help out.
Why are they making you dinner?
Okay, we will be right back after I'm going for the long con. Right after this. Welcome back, everybody. That break was amazing. I urinated. Is that an overshare?
And I hydrated.
Oh, you hydrated. Well, you will be urinating on the next break. Because we're 40 now, and I like to go every 3 minutes. Our eyes, we were talking like a bunch of old men when we got here about our eyesight going. But you know, I don't, honest to God, like, not to belabor a point, but I don't feel old. Like, I know people like, oh, 40, but I really don't feel it, dude. I feel like, I feel good.
I felt older earlier in my life.
Yeah.
I feel better now.
Yeah, well, I've been...
I'm not to say I'm in good shape. I am actually breaking down like an old car. But I feel younger.
Well, you know what, though, Hiddish? You know, back when we were younger, you were actually, you know, you would play sports and do all that stuff. I like to feel like I was taking it easy. I'm trying to unleash that beast now. Now I'm trying to hit, you know, like, now I'm going to do it. But I've been trying to get a little, you know, trying to get in shape. And but I don't feel like... you know what I do notice? I notice, like, if we're going to do, like, a night like tonight, we're going to be up late. Tomorrow, I can't just pop out of bed and be like, yeah, it's going to take me a little while to get going. Mm-hmm. Like, I notice things like that, but it's not like, you know, like, you hear a lot of people go, oh, I'm so tired now.
No. I mean, when I was young, it took time to get going, period. I mean, dude, I got a high schooler. He sleeps anywhere. He just falls asleep.
That's a gift.
You have a narcoleptic.
That's a gift. I wish I could do that.
My wife can do that, and it pisses me off to no end because I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I regularly live off of 6 hours of sleep. Yep. So I'll be up late at night, and I'll get up. I'll still find a way to get that 6 hours. If I go to bed at 3, well, I'll just get up at 9, and it's no big deal.
See, that's great because for me, I noticed when I was getting older, I could go to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, 7:30, automatically I'm still up. I'll feel groggy all day.
Yeah.
But I cannot sleep in. I'd love to have that day where I could just sleep in until noon.
My schedule's off now because my wife's not working, so she takes my daughter to school, where I used to be up at like 7 every day. Mm-hmm. And now I'm totally, like, that screwed me. So it's like now I'm like, sometimes I'm up at 9, sometimes
damn
I'm up
you
at,
and your quality time.
Damn you. Yeah, but I do have a nice quality time. But the point I was going to bring up before we started going back, I am having a renaissance with Jennifer Aniston, and I want to get your opinion because my wife's been watching Friends. And I used to not care about Jennifer Aniston. I think it was because she was overexposed, and you'd see her every time her hair cut, she cut her hair, she was on a new magazine or whatever. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Am I wrong in finding Jennifer Aniston attractive, or is that...
Well, she was always, I thought, attractive.
Yeah.
Now, is she my cup of tea? That's a different question.
Yeah, I think I just had written her off. I don't know whether or not she's my cup of tea, but I feel like I had written her off, and I was like, you know... I think Brad Pitt made a mistake. That's all I'm going to say. Come on, Angelina Jolie looks filthy. She looks just grubby.
I'll give you that. That's, Billy, there's another. Hey, is she may be attractive, but is she your cup of tea? Right?
Yeah, that's true.
But I'll give her some. I'll give Brad Pitt some minimal props for leaving one for the other. He actually wanted to have a family.
That is true.
Right.
And
I remember that.
But there are ways to do it.
I'm not taking sides. I'm not taking sides, but apparently Jennifer Aniston wasn't ready to do that, even though... Were they married?
Yeah, they were married.
Even though they were married. Yeah. Right.
Maybe she's...
Shows you how much I follow her.
Maybe she wasn't ready. Let's give her... You know, these things take time. She's the one that has to push it out.
Oh, I totally get it. I'm not taking any sides.
All of a sudden, I'm just saying. After the sexism of last segment, I come out like super pro-pen.
It's like a pendulum. You're on one side. Yep,
that's the great thing about having my own podcast. I can just...
But, you know, people get married. People bond with other people for many, many, many deep reasons, right? And if that's a problem, I guess that's what ended up happening. Angelina Jolie wanted to adopt kids and marry kids.
Or they seem happy. Hey, it's not for me to judge. They seem happy, but it's just, I don't know. I just thought, I don't know. Who cares?
But I'll tell you this.
Horrible Bosses.
I saw Horrible Bosses, and I was like, wow, she's in very good shape.
She isn't. She's our age.
Is she?
I think she's our age. Maybe a little, maybe younger, maybe old. I don't know how old.
Dude, I just Googled Christy Brinkley. From our last,
I should have had my laptop out and I didn't take it out. I'm sorry, guys.
By the way, she just turned 60.
Oh, yeah, we found that out in the break. 60 years old, looking great.
Yeah, if you don't mind me Googling as we talk, I'll find out.
When we were born, she was graduating from high school.
Yeah.
She would have been born in
Class of 71.
Class of 71, yeah.
We just dated ourselves. Sorry.
Was that wrong? I would date myself. I'm handsome. And I wear plaid a lot. Okay, when Hiddish asked me today, he said, I sent him a text and I said, hey, we're all ready to go on the podcast tonight. Oh, go ahead, Bernie, you have some info?
Jennifer Aniston, 44.
Ooh, a little older than we are. A little older. Maybe he like older women. Oh, the non-offensive short round. In the least offensive.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
In a movie that is not offensive to any cultures, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We'll talk about that. Hiddish had the unfortunate luck of coming in to our school year the year that was released. So
1983,
In 1984, I believe. Was it 84?
I came in
83, but the movie came out in the summer of 84.
Oh, okay.
So we were asking all these questions like,
eat snakes?
Do you really eat monkey brains? Is that...
Do you guys eat cockroaches?
And then we would make you translate all
super
the words.
Awesome 7th grade humor.
I was watching Mola Ram say, chalo, chalo. I was watching it. It was on at the comic book store. And I was like, chalo means let's go. I was that cool guy. Like, I know a little Gujarati. Thank you, Hiddish, for making me look cool for all of half of a second.
For all the people that walk into the video store.
Walk into the comic book shop. So when Hiddish sent me the text today, he said, hey, I'm ready to do the podcast. Are we doing a topic or are we just going to fly, you know, by the seat of our pants? I thought of something really quick, and I thought this would be great because we were originally going to have Bobo. Bobo couldn't make it. I knew Bernie would probably be here, and we'd sucker him in. You know, that's what happens when you drive, dude. Now you can either sit in the car while we podcast, or you can come in and participate. But
Food or booze on the table, though.
Oh, by the way, I crunched ice in the last segment. Totally on mic. I apologize. I'm sure that sounds fantastic. But I wanted to talk about the 80s being ground zero is sort of like being... I think the suffering we went through, guys, as nerdy kids in the 80s, like all these kids that get to wear their Star Wars shirts and stuff to school without getting beaten up, okay?
It was because of the penance we paid.
So I really wanted to talk about the 80s, which a lot of people have nostalgia for, but I really wanted to talk about the 80s from sort of a nerdy perspective. And Bernie, I'm sorry I'm lumping you in, because we didn't go to school with you. You could have been the coolest kid at your school, but you're roped in now.
Okay. But we went to school.
But we went to school together, and we saw each other's nerdiness, and we still loved each other. And we adopted a beautiful son.
There's a little nerd in every one of us.
We lived through all of it. Bernie is the... I don't know. Would you consider Bernie a nerd? Because he always has a cool car.
Always has a cool car. He's always got long hair.
He's good at math.
He's good at math, but that doesn't make you a nerd. That just makes you smart.
He's smart. But see, what boggles...
Wait. Let's take it a step back. What is a nerd versus a geek versus a dork? Can we talk about this?
We've talked about this on the show, and I always thought a geek, to me, I never considered myself a nerd because I always think a nerd is smart. I always think of a nerd as like someone who just hit the books and was exceptionally smart. I think of myself as a geek because a geek just obsesses over like certain things. So I consider myself geek, but I would never. But you would make me mad, Hiddish, because you had the nerdy geeky attributes, like you would.
And that makes you mad.
No, but you were great at sports, and you're like
I wouldn't say great at sports.
Well, for us,
for the nerds, but
you were great. You were good at basketball. You could ball it up. You were good at baseball, football. You could go out there. Now, see, I used to love to play, but I was terrible. I was never good. Except in basketball. I had no inside game. But I could fucking... Oops. I could make it rain threes all day.
Well, to get to the nerd, dork, geek thing.
So we've talked about... Yeah, I always think... Do you consider yourself any of those, or are you being insulted right now?
I consider myself a dork.
Okay.
So nerd, very, very, very smart... Zero social skills.
Okay.
Okay, that's a nerd.
All right.
Because you can have very smart people with great social skills, you'll never call them a nerd.
That's right.
Right? So a nerd, how do you differentiate that? Social skills.
Mm-hmm.
The geek has social skills, but is not as smart as the nerd.
See, that's where I feel like I am.
Or he is not as smart as a nerd, zero social skills still, right? So they're like the not smart folks.
Yeah.
But they're having.
Well, let me ask you this.
I feel like a geek.
Were you guys always like that, or because I think I flipped a switch somewhere in high school?
You feel like you?
I felt like I was a lot more nerdy, dorky, geeky, whatever you want to call it, until a certain age where people were like, "What happened to you?"
And then you became cool.
You bought his first car.
You bought your first.
No, he rolled a Mustang into the high school parking lot. Is what?
That was not cool at the time amongst the group that I was hanging out with. Now, if you ask the football players, yes.
But people I was hanging out with. The cool guys.
See, you were, yeah, I feel like.
I didn't hang out with the football players, though. See?
Yeah.
It's all relative.
That's a great question, Bernie, because I'm really trying to look back in my own life and figure. I always say that seeing Star Wars in the theater, there was like that's it. I'm doomed. Like, I'm doomed because my whole life has been trying to recreate. That feeling I got. And, you know, what if I had seen Rocky the first... Like, what if Rocky had been the first movie I'd ever seen instead of Star Wars? Like, I might have been like, you know, I got to go out. I got to be, I got to be a jock. You know what I mean?
Like, you got to punch some slabs of meat.
I got to punch some slabs of meat and cut me.
Chase the chicken around.
Well, I did plenty of that.
Is that what they call it nowadays?
I did plenty of that, if you know what I mean.
Chase, not Charlie.
Chase the chicken. I think, you know, I always thought I could have gone another way in my life, but I think, I don't know. I guess I've always been. I always had the nerd.
No. I was destined for my awkwardness.
Yeah.
Because I was sheltered for a long, long time.
Well, you're Indian. Your family came from India. And how old were you when you came here?
Well, I was one. Yeah, so you were one. I don't talk Indian.
No.
Quote, unquote, talk Indian.
Yeah.
But, you know, we came to America. I lived in an apartment until I was five. Actually, I lived in the Tenderloin.
Oh, very nice.
San Francisco. Very nice neighborhood. came to Whittier.
Somebody just told me that their best, I think it was Martin who's been on the show. He said the best thing you do if you're walking down the Tenderloin and you're by yourself, just talk to yourself.
Talk to yourself. No one will bother you.
So you came to Whittier.
Came to Whittier, lived in a hotel for the next 7 years.
Yes, right. Behind the fortune bookie.
Yeah. Throwing, you know, my parents were fortunate enough to scrape enough coins together and get that old dump. And spent some time throwing winos out and things of that nature.
That was a good...
Yeah. but didn't really teach me much about the world for whatever reason. You'd think I'd get some hard knock, like, you know, experiences, but...
Yes, he did.
I was young and oblivious.
You don't take care of your money.
So the first movie I ever saw in the theaters, I was already 12.
Ah, okay.
So 1983. So for being, you know, a kid, the 80s didn't start. In 1980, they started like in 83, 84, 85.
Yeah.
When I quote unquote awoke from my little sheltered life.
Yeah.
Behind the little doorbell thing at the hotel.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's why your mom loved me so much because I had a lot to do with this.
So, you know, I had no social skills. I didn't know what was going on.
That's not true, though.
Totally. I will tell you that right
now. You know what? I think what it was, Bernie, is when Hitch came to our school. He was very much in the same boat I was when I had gotten there in third grade. He showed up in the middle of the school year. And for me, it was, you know, I didn't have an awesome immigration story. I didn't, you know what I mean? I was born here. But I came from a predominantly Mexican-American, Latino, Chicano neighborhood, what have you, to a very, very white school, predominantly white school. So I really felt like, whoa. And so
anyone of other ethnicities.
Yeah, I think that really just made me awkward because I felt like an outcast where I had never felt that way before.
Right.
And then so the people I glommed onto were like our friend Dax, who had been at school like 2 years earlier, or like Corey, you know, we talk about Corey sometimes, who actually ended up being your roommate at UCLA also, Hiddish later. And so those guys were just into like just geeky things like that was just they just liked geeky stuff, so I just was hung out with them, and so that's what I got into. But it wasn't. I think at some point in your life you get imprinted with something that just makes you. And for me, it was seeing Star Wars. For you, it was being sheltered. You know what I mean? Because I don't think I was. I mean, I don't. I mean, you know, I guess I had the Mexican Catholic upbringing, so. Here's what we were talking about, though. It's funny. My uncle took me to see Scarface when I was like 10. Scarface came out, what, 81? So I'm 10, 11. Mm-hmm. My parents had no problem me seeing Scarface. But you see a boob on the screen. Oh, absolutely. My God. Yeah,
like, there's problems.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my God. I can see a guy gets like eviscerated with a chainsaw. Yeah, you're fine. You'll be okay. You'll sleep tonight.
See a horse in the bed.
Yeah, you're fine. You'll sleep okay.
No problem.
You'll sleep. But you see a boob, God forbid. That's filth. What is that?
That's funny, though, because Star Wars actually was the first movie I saw in the theater, too.
So it was the same thing. Do you feel like...
So that was 77?
Yeah.
So you guys were like 6 years old.
Yeah, I was five. Like, I couldn't believe my parents actually took me to the theater to see a movie at five.
Bernie and I were late in 71, so we're right. Star Wars comes out when you're like five. Right. You know, we're like, because it's May.
Yeah.
Wow. So that, what was it like? Let me ask you this, because I have the experience. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember it? Was it like...
I know exactly where I saw it and what it was like.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. Completely. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I can remember details about that day that are like weird details because it was such a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, that's it. Lucas doomed me.
My first movie was Return of the Jedi.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So
1983.
You were suckered in too.
Yeah, and apparently I got on a roll because then I saw Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
And that was the first Indiana Jones movie. I hadn't seen Empire Strikes Back, Star Wars, or Raiders of the Lost Ark. I saw their like the sequels or the end of their trilogy, yeah. Right?
You hate the first chapter of any movie. Is that true?
Ironically, I saw Empire Strikes Back where you guys grew up.
At the La Mirada Theater?
Yeah. And I remembered it was like one of the loudest movies I'd ever
back
seen.
Back in the day.
It was so loud.
Back in the day, my brother will still say this. It used to advertise in the paper. It would be the La Mirada Theater. Because remember, there was four on one side. And then there was the two big auditoriums. Mm-hmm. And it was in 70 millimeter. It was a 70 millimeter screen. So it was maybe old school Panavision screen. And it was six-track Dolby stereo.
Nice.
Which now you can get in your house. But at the time, that was... I remember that being...
No, it was impressive.
It was huge. Yeah, it was a huge screen. And they tore those theaters. It's like, what were you thinking, La Mirada? Like, that theater, that was... I saw Empire there. I saw Jedi there. I saw Raiders there. I saw a lot of the big 80s movie, the quote-unquote... We saw Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade there.
Last Crusade? We saw Last
in 89. Okay. With my dad. I told that story where my dad went... You or... I think it was you. we were hanging out at the house. We're getting ready to go see you or Dan. They're like, hey, Mr. Hartnell, you want to join us? And like that was it. It was like, yeah, I'll go. And we're just hanging out there with my dad watching it.
You know, I'm trying to remember. We're going to talk about movies from the 80s.
Yeah.
I remember seeing one movie there, and I saw Platoon there.
That,
and I thought that was with your dad.
Probably. My dad probably would have taken.
Because I have no idea why I would have even gone to the theater to go see that movie.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't something that would
be like my, that would be like my dad being like, I was in the Korean, this is my dad, like, I wonder what his thing was, like, I'm in the Korean War, I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to take these boys to see this movie about Vietnam in case they're thinking about joining the Army. And it's like, nope, don't want to join the Army, thanks. I remember seeing Full Metal Jacket there with my uncle, who was in Vietnam, and he took me and my cousin. I saw Die Hard at that theater, like, let's get into the 80s being, Bernie, we haven't decided if you're a geek or a nerd or a dork or just cooler than us. I'm gonna opt for the latter because you have always have the coolest car. What are you driving right now, Bernie? Do you mind if we ask? Do you want to share that?
Let's see. What did I roll today? The Volkswagen GTI.
Oh, see,
that's his beater, by the way.
Yeah, that's your beater. What's your normal standard drive to work car?
Actually, this is it.
That is the beater. Is
okay, it. What's your weekend?
Weekend
at Bernie's car. Sorry.
A G37. No, but hold on. I had a clean 1999 Prelude for 12 years that I rolled on up to almost 200,000 miles, and to this day, I still lament selling that car.
Why did you sell that Prelude?
It was getting up there. I'll tell you this. If I had the space for it, I would still have it.
Out with the old and with the new.
That was a nice car. That was a nice car. I
love that car.
That was because it was still the kind of square... Had the square back on it.
Last generation.
Yeah, yep. Those are nice. I like that. I like square cars, apparently. Who knew?
It runs in the family.
It does. But let's talk about, I just read that book, Ready Player One, and I recommended it to you. I definitely read it. I don't know if you've read it, Bernie.
Nope.
The basic premise of the story is it's the near future. It's like 40 years in the future. America never got out of the recession. And so, like, it's a horrible place to live. Nobody's working. Everybody takes refuge in this game called Oasis, and it's like a virtual reality where everybody's got, like, a second life. And you can go on adventures. It's like a big multiplayer game where you can go do all kinds of stuff like Warcraft. Mm-hmm. Or, taking a tip from, like, the Bitcoin thing, you can go on to, like, do virtual shopping. There's all these different worlds where you can just have, like, this really cool. So the guy who invented this thing basically sets it up so that kids who are impoverished can have free education. They go to virtual schools and virtual teachers teach them, and they can get an education and go to college and things like that. But this developer grew up in the 80s, and upon his death, he releases a video saying there are 3 Easter eggs hidden in the game. And if you find the 3 Easter eggs, you will win his entire fortune, which is in the billions.
Okay, so I got the book. It's on my Nexus. Mm-hmm. Please don't.
No, that's it. No. Okay. That's the hint.
Stop.
That is the gist. So you can get that from just reading the synopsis. Okay, that's the general. Yeah, I'm not gonna. There's no spoilers. I will not spoil it for you. So that's what sets everything off. But there are all these references to 80s games, and you'll read it when you read the book. So I really started thinking about
old book.
Yeah, old
reference.
It really got me thinking about like how much of the modern day geek culture was born back in the 1980s. And one of the first things I thought of was, like, it was, like, the birth of home computing, really. Where up until, like, when we were kids and we were watching reruns of 60s sitcoms, what did computers look like? They were, like, these big... It was a room. It would take up a room. So I thought that was, like, one of the first things. It was also, like, the advent of... It was really the boom, even though it happened in the 70s, console gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, you had kind of, like, the Atari. The Atari. The Intellivision.
ColecoVision.
The Odyssey.
That's right, the Odyssey.
Which one was that one?
The Odyssey looked like a big... it looked like an Atari, but it had like a weird handle on it. Who made that?
Oh, I totally don't remember that one.
I can't remember who made it, but I remember that.
And that was supposed to be the top of the line, but nobody had it, and it was like way expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's amazing? Back then, those things cost like $400.
Yes, like just as much as an Xbox now.
Which translates to what? Like $3,000? You know, in modern currency and factoring in inflation, damn, that shit was expensive.
That's expensive for a lot of little squares running around. And I remember getting, my parents bought me the Sears.
Sears had version a, the 2600.
Sears had a knockoff.
The switches 20, were a little bit different.
Yeah.
I remember
But
that
it
one.
Was like $200 cheap or something because it was like the Sears brand. And that's the one we got, of course.
Did it play all the Atari
games? It played all the Atari games.
It was the same machine. The switches just looked a little bit different.
Yeah. It had like a, burnished metal finish on it, like on the, it looked, it wasn't quite as
In fact, I want to say, if I could remember correctly, there were two switches on each side of the 2600, and then there was a little AB switch on the back. I think those came to the front on the Sears.
Yeah,
or something like
it
that.
It was weird, something weird like that. And it was a little box. You had to plug it into the forks on your antenna. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
To get
the TV switch box.
The switch box.
And nice.
Then, yeah, but that was like, but you know, that's really, again, for a generation that was later on going to start building their own PCs and doing things like that, that was the first really thing. You got behind the TV.
Yeah, that
you
was
You unscrewed
the start.
Those antennas, and then you put the forks in and then screw. And you would have to do it because you crawl back there and do it. Like,
yeah. and that entailed crawling behind a piece of furniture because our those TVs had wood paneling.
Yeah, the console.
They
it was
wore,
a console.
They probably weighed like 200 pounds.
200 pounds. Yeah. Easy.
You couldn't
and,
move it.
Yeah, and they were big. And then the screen was only maybe like a third of the actual size of the.
It's like a 20-inch screen.
And then they had to warm up. If the TV was old, it was like, it's got to warm up. You hear it turn on, you turn on, and you hear like a
I remember going with my dad to Save-On doing tube testing.
Oh, my God.
Remember those machines?
Yeah, the little machines.
Yeah.
See if your tube would bust it in your TV. Dude, that's... Are we that old?
Yeah, we're pretty ancient. that's pretty stuff. But you know that stuff morphed into what really I think changed me, at least me, into when you got out of those consoles and you got the computers, the Texas Instruments TI-16, I think
the Trash 80. There was the TRS-80.
TRS-80. Then we had the Commodore.
Commodore 64.
Commodore 64.
Now 64, that was a big thing with you and I, Hiddish, because we both had one. And
we paid like $300 for the disk drive.
Your cousin, we won't mention his name because he was an early quote unquote hacker who figured out, was he the one that, like, he told us about, like, if you use a hole punch on a 5 1/4-inch disk, you could turn a single sided disk into a double sided disk.
Right, right. No, the bigger thing is he discovered BBS.
Yeah.
Like bulletin board services with those super awesome 96K. Modems.
Mod.
Thinking of those games back then, and I remember we had you and I would pass this, it was literally a shoebox, but it was filled to the brim with all these discs, and we would pass it back, and you would like be like, here, I go to your house, you'd be like, here, like, take these discs, I don't play these right now. Oh, dude, you were like my crack dealer, man, because I would just be like, I had maybe like two games on my Commodore, and like, your cousin opened up a whole new world for me.
Yeah. So you guys are telling these stories, and I'm like, I lived all of this, so essentially I didn't go to school with you guys, but essentially I'm just as nerdy as you guys doing the same exact thing.
Did you have a Commodore?
No, I had an Apple. I had an Apple II C.
Now, you were Dan. You were the Dan. We had a friend, Dan, who's still
around. But it was the same thing. Trading games
on floppies. Dan always took the high road with us. He went a little highbrow with that Apple.
Well, Dan's parents were teachers, so they would get Apples through the school, so they would have like the Apple IIe.
Dan's dad was my teacher.
Oh, that's right.
You remember?
That's weird. That's we didn't know you then, but yeah. Our friend's dad, and Dan also went to UCLA. Roommate. Did you all live together? You and Dan?
No. Me, Dan, Todd, and Corey lived together.
Okay.
Then me, Dan, and Todd. And then later on, I was roommates with...
It was only after I met Phil.
Yeah.
Who knew you.
Shout out to Phil Kwong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Up in Oroville.
So, yeah. But what it is, I had met him at freshman orientation. And he was a good friend of mine, but we never, like, he was staying in an apartment and I was staying with, you know, my high school classmates and whatnot. So we never actually, you know, roomed together until almost the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then I roomed with him and some other Indian gentleman. His name, he was Gagan. He actually is a doctor now.
He was a Sikh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when that year ended.
Right.
That's when Bernie moved in. So it was me, Phil, and Bernie.
Little did you know, Gagan, he was the inspiration for Lady Gaga. What kind of a doctor is he now?
I think he's a pediatrician.
I met him, I think, once or twice, but those were the days when I used to go move you guys from apartment to apartment, like, every couple quarters.
Yeah.
We headed down to a science, though, where I would just park the truck And
throw the stuff out the window.
I was the only one with a truck, so every quarter I'd be like, "Hey, I'd be tapped to like navigate those little streets, like Gailey and all those little streets." And we would just like literally just park my truck and emergency blinkers and just throw everything on the curb, and then like go find a parking spot like a quarter of a mile away, and then and then come back and like move all the stuff up. Those were fun times.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Now you were doing this, Bernie. Now you had an Apple. Now did you guys? Was there a hack for the Apple? Could you guys hack games and?
Or was it Oregon Trail all day long?
What was that one?
No, I think people were trading lemonade games that were already hacked. You know, you load it up and you get this little BB thing hacked by so and so.
Yeah.
Remember those things? So.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super exciting, right? You go to school, it's like, oh, I got this new game. You couldn't wait to get home and, you know, throw that in the machine and play it.
I got we got that Commodore 64, man. I remember Beachhead 2 was one that I was obsessed with.
Who Dares Wins 2.
Who Dares, which was a port of Commando, the game, remember the arcade game Commando?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then...
did you guys ever play this game called King's Quest?
Yes! That was the one where
was one of the first adventure games.
That was the one where you could catapult. Wouldn't there be like they would show you like a scene where it was like a cut scene, but you would like have to catapult the other guy's wall down?
Maybe.
Was that the one?
Actually,
I think so.
Is it? I don't remember.
Or no, that was something of the Crown. Something. God, I can't remember. You lent me that one too.
Conquest of the Crown.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
I remember G.I. Joe. Do you remember the G.I. Joe game?
Oh, yeah.
And you and I would play that for hours and hours because we could. You'd pick your Cobra guy and your G.I. Joe guy, and you'd fight. And then there was one level where the Cobra robot, you would shoot it back and forth, like launch it towards one another.
Yeah.
And I remember you and I were playing late one night, and your mom came in and it was just like, go home.
She got tired of the whole geek nerd thing going on, too. She's like, get out of here.
She's like, straight up, just go home. I was like, all right, I gotta go. Freaking sad Brady music as I leave. Na 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 na.
There was a game that I like called The Bilestowed. It was like a top view of a robot with a shield and kind of like a sword, and you can go after and teleport from area to area.
What was it called?
The Bilestowed. If you look it up online, it might be familiar to you, but it was kind of an obscure game that had some follow-up.
There were a lot of those in Commodore because it was just these weird. And they were all ripoffs of more popular games. Mm. I remember there was one called.
Was it a Dragon's Lair ripoff?
No, this is actually it was very unique, and I thought it was pretty cool. It's like, you know, robot to robot battling, and you kind of go from one scape to another scape. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. There wasn't anything else like it at the time.
There was one called Quango that you gave me, Hiddish, and it was a ripoff of Dig Dug. But the music, I will never forget, the music was all Scott Joplin music. It was like all ragtime music. And I was like obsessed with this game. I'll never forget it. And I've tried to look for it online since to see if there's like an emulator or anything. I've never found it. But it was a weird time because it was really kind of like...
Well, technology was burgeoning. I mean, that was just something that, you know, what was your alternative? Go outside and ride a bike.
Yeah. No, right? Screw that.
Go play baseball.
I'm fat. Right? We did that too, though.
Right,
we found time to do it all.
Well, actually, what it really was is go outside and get on a skateboard or roller skates.
Oh, yeah. Did that too.
But I remember we'd go to like the church by your house and we'd go play basketball. And then we'd go in and be like, hey, my cousin Omo got these games. Let's check them out. California Games and Summer Games.
Summer Games.
Summer Games.
You remember Summer Games when you'd have to do the... you'd use the Atari joystick. Yeah, you used to do the javelin. You just got the... Come on, I can get faster.
You make a little fulcrum
with a pencil in your finger.
I think with the Apple, they had two little Apple keys right next to the space bar, so that's what you had to hit. So you'd do this thing, so you'd hit the two Apple keys.
Same thing with us, except we had a joystick. You could attach an Atari Atari joystick to the Commodore and make it work. And I bought this little joystick that looked like one of the cabinets. It just had a red knob on top, so it was shorter. But the button was fat, so you could really just get in there and like make a little fulcrum in there and just freaking, I'm gonna get that broad jump this time. Hiddish should have all his records, like, and then I try to beat him. I'd be like, oh, you son of a. Oh, those were the
summer
days,
games.
Man. Summer
totally
games, too.
I totally forgot about that one.
See, good times.
There were winter games, too.
There were winter games, and then there was California games, and that was like. It would now be the X Games. It would be like surfing, skateboarding, like all this stuff is called BMX.
Yeah.
It's called California Games.
There was a BMX game too that we had.
Do you remember the one that we had? It was like a little motorcycle guy, and you had to ride through this little town, and there would be all these like stuff would blow up. You had to do like all these stunt jumps. Do you remember that?
No.
God, there were so many of those weird little. I know. He just giving me this. Don't give me the sign.
Move on.
I'll give you the sign. The one fingered sign. All right, we're moving on. What do you want to talk about? Go ahead.
I don't know. I was just thinking we were breaking down.
We are because the
nostalgia. Who wants to hear about nostalgia?
You know,
does the audience really want to hear about nostalgia?
The three of us want to hear about nostalgia.
We want to hear about it.
If you want to hear about nostalgia, please drop us a line. give us a thumbs up on Facebook if you like the episode.
All right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about, you know what we didn't talk about, but we can talk about your favorite arcade games from the 80s, because that was huge, too.
All right.